Well, I'm not going to give you good news in my answer, but it's absolutely so clear to me and many others that all civilizations have cycles. And we've gone through the good times, and now we're in the bad times. And another word for that is things are falling apart. The institutions that we created to serve us no longer serve us whatsoever. They've become large bureaucracies. Our leaders are actually, for the most part, people who lack any kind of, I would say, ethics. And people are suffering terribly, and the planet is in a lot of trouble because of us. So this is, I label this quite frankly, as we're in the collapse of the cycle of this civilization. All civilizations go through the same pattern of rising and falling, so we're no different.
And it's not then that we've all got it so wrong that we've made a total mess. It's a much bigger thing, is it?
Well, humans tend to make the same messes. That's what's so shocking about our species. And when we get to this stage, the pattern is so identifiable that when I started reading this wonderful body of research on civilizations, all human civilizations, it became clear where we were. And I must say, as an activist, it shifted me from, we've got to fix it, we've got to stop this, to realizing, oh, this is where we are. Now we have to prepare for difficult times. And in difficult times, humans make two choices. Most of us become brutal, angry, fearful. And our relationships are destroyed, our generosity disappears, our sense of caring gets worn very thin. That's one choice. But the other choice, which you see in all the stories and movies that are made of people in war, is that we rise to a higher nobility and we just exhibit the best qualities we can, our generosity, altruism, kindness, and such. And since I'm speaking to you, I'm remembering a beautiful story I heard from a TV show on the Irish immigrants after the potato famine. And one woman who is now well established in America said that what broke her grandmother's heart in Ireland was that she could no longer share food with the neighbors because it had been a very communal way of living, and that really destroyed her grandmother. So you see it there in history everywhere, that we choose. Are we going to be good and kind to one another no matter what's happening? Or are we going to increase our own suffering and pain by just becoming fearful and destructive?
You say increase our own suffering and pain.
Yes.
There is huge suffering and pain in the world. Like, there are so many people who are in huge distress. Mm-hmm. And like, it's kind of like, how do you live with that?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. I think that's the challenge of how to hold it and not get swept away by grief and anger and a sense of how awful, terrifyingly awful life has become for so many people. But I do know that through cultivating a steady mind and becoming less reactive, this is the work I'm engaged in now, training people how to be warriors for the human spirit. We start with the recognition that the suffering is increasing. There's very little we can do about it globally. There's a great deal we can do about it personally, locally, in our communities and families.
I'm surprised to hear you say that, because I think a lot of us have a sense of powerlessness, that it's all gone so big and so, like, what am I? How could I have an impact? So you say I could.
That we can, we have to change our sights from, this is especially true what I had to do, because I work globally and I work in large scales. And it doesn't work anymore. Those systems have their own momentum and they are not fixable. But I do know that we can create what I'm calling now islands of sanity, or I could call them islands of possibility and compassion, or just being a good human being. Okay. With where we are, with what we have, and the people who are with us. That can apply to a leader in an organization, or a nurse in a hospital, or me with my neighbors, but it's giving up the grander vision of social change and realizing we're not going to succeed at that. Stop wasting our energy and bring that compassion and kindness and generosity and insight into what would be truly helpful. Bring that local now.
How do we do that?
Well, there are many people showing us how to do it. There are communities who have really built themselves as a strong, healthy community with shared responsibility for one another. There are people doing local gardens, which throughout Ireland and the UK is already very, very common. There are people trying to create strong networks of relationships within their communities. There are people who are cleaning up their communities, changing the schools, getting active in the politics of their local community. So it's already being done. There's a big local movement. You know, people buying local food in the United States is a big effort now. It just takes a sense of, it takes a few things. It takes a sense of will that I will do this. This is good work to do. And it also takes a sense of, I don't know what to call it, because sometimes as an activist it feels quite despairing to give up on the grander scale of change, right? And I've had to go through this in my own life for about 10 years, and now I work with people really teaching and them practicing how to just do the work in front of us. It's much like Mother Teresa for me. She's a great model now. You know, when she first started, before she became a big thing, it was about just wanting a person who was dying to have a humane experience. She wasn't trying to change the causes of poverty and death. She was just trying to be present. And for me, the work that I'm engaged in now is training people as warriors for the human spirit to be compassionate presences who also have great insights, so we don't waste our time on foolish projects, but where we can make a difference, we do. And that takes a lot of practice to do that, and part of the practice is giving up searching for just the right way to get to leaders so that they will change, you know. And if you look at the Pope's encyclical on the planet, our common home, for me that was a beautiful, scientific, systemic, spiritual expression of where we are and what we have to do. Are we going to do it? I mean, what it calls for is a level of cooperation, abandonment of ego, giving up power for nation states and their leaders. That's not going to happen. So we do what we can locally, and we help each other as much as we can.
You know, when you say we do what we can locally, I find myself thinking, what's that going to ask of me?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's kind of like if I think of families and friends and what's going to be different in how we are in the world. And that's a difficult question to take
on. It's difficult because we don't want to do that hard work. It's some way it's so much easier to stay angry and work on causes at a larger scale, you know? Because you can blame others for inactivity, you can criticize, and you can just sit back with your anger really destroying you. And this calls for patience, perseverance. It calls for being willing to be in relationship with people around me, and that's much more difficult than yelling and cursing politicians.
Sounds like a revolution to me.
Well, it's bringing it home. It's bringing the work home. With a great sense of sorrow that that has to be the final option for how we get through what's coming. But we have to bring it home.
So a lot of the things that we have valued and maybe worked for and built our own self-esteem on even might be shattering
in front
of our faces.
I think that's true, and I think a lot of people are experiencing that, and what they do is they withdraw. They just get very self-protective, they blame other people, they try and create a little cocoon of a good life for themselves. And then there are a few of us who say, no, I want to be the best human being I can be and serve other people. And then so it switches from self-protection to service.